Amen. All right, let's look in our Bibles this morning. Not Matthew. Matthew's good too, but we'll look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Book of Romans is a great book. Of course, I think everybody's in agreement with that. The whole book is a good book. Amen. But the book of Romans, I believe the Lord put it first in the order of the New Testament as far as Pauline epistles go. I believe the Lord put it there for a reason. And I believe that we all need to have a good understanding of it, whether you're called to preach or called to be a witness or whatever your calling is. We all do have a calling according to Romans chapter 1. We are the called, amen? Amen. And so we must have a good understanding of the book of Romans. And if you're going to have a good understanding of the book of Romans, then you have to have a good understanding of the subject that we're going to talk about this morning. And I'll just call this the faithful believer if you need a title. And we're going to talk about the difference. What we're going to talk about is the difference between faith and belief. I don't know. I've been in church since 1975, and I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon or a Sunday school lesson or any kind of a seminar or anything like that explaining the difference between faith and belief, so that most people just think they're the same thing and they're not the same thing. Although in certain situations you can use them interchangeably. You can use the word believe for faith and faith for belief, but technically they're not the same thing, and so there are differences there. You can have, it is possible to believe without having faith, but it's impossible to have faith without belief. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we could say about this, and for the sake of time, we'll try to narrow it down and give you the basics and the essentials of it. But you really need to understand this, because I believe that more so than any time in my life, and I'm sure if you've been alive longer than me, you see it more clearly than I do. But just in the time that I've been alive, I've seen the difference between people that have faith and people that just believe. Amen. And after all, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Now, if you believe to the point of trembling, you may think that you've had a religious experience, but you might be full of the devil. And that's just all there is to that. I mean, when I was a boy, I could remember people getting saved on a weekly basis in church, and they trembled and cried, and a lot of them got their lives changed, and some of them didn't, and that's going to have to be left up to God, because I can't see down inside of people's souls. But the more I live and the longer I live, I see more people making those professions with no trembling and no repentance. And repentance is a part of salvation, whether you like it or not. And, I'm here to tell you this morning, a lot of people believe or say they believe, but I don't believe that their belief is based on faith. And I trust that everybody here has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure whether you do or not, at least this Sunday school lesson is designed to let you know for sure that you've got a hold of the right thing. So we mainly use the word faith and believe interchangeably, but in the strictest sense, they are not the same. So let's look in Romans chapter 5, and let's read verse 1, and we'll get as far as we can. We'll trust the Lord for the rest. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before I read. Lord, thank you this morning for the opportunity. Lord, to preach. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. What a wonderful thing it is to be in Sunday school. Thank you for the opportunity to just get underneath the teaching, whether it's doing the teaching or hearing the teaching. I count it a blessing, God, to be in Sunday school where we can learn from you and where we can learn from the Word of God. And we do thank you, God, for all that the Word, all the parts that the Word plays in our lives. And Lord, we ask you, God, to help us. Lead us and direct us this morning. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So with that being said, that makes faith a very important thing. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So without faith, there's no peace with God. And, of course, he starts off the chapter with the word therefore. So there's something in chapter 4, and you could just say it's the summary of chapter 4 that really leads him to say what he says in chapter 5. But if you want to get chapter 4 in one verse, in one statement, then you can get that in verse number 15. Now, I'm going to read Romans 4:15 and Romans 5:1 together, and this is the way it is. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God does not come by you being as holy and righteous as you can possibly be. It just doesn't come that way. When you're going to measure your holiness and your righteousness, you're going to have to measure it by some standard. And the only standard we have to measure that by is the law. And you just don't add up. Now, I hope you've been practicing so that you add up better today than you did the day you got saved. Amen. And you can call us legalists, you can call whatever you want to, but I believe your life after you get saved ought to be cleaner than the life you lived before you got saved. And if it don't, I stand in doubt of you. And you may not care about that, but I care about it. Amen. I care. A man that's got saved and been around the Bible and sticks around the church and stays around God's people and still likes to live an ungodly life, I don't want to be around you. As you may not get the advantage of me judging you, but I will. And my children will, because they're not going to be around you. And my wife will, because they're not going to be around you. Well, you're a legalist. You're a separatist. That's right. That's absolutely right. I gladly accept it. Now, at the same time, I'm not going to be looking down my nose at you and talking bad about you behind your back. I'll be in my bedroom praying for you and asking God to deal with your heart. I'm not a snob. I'm a Christian. Amen. Amen. I'm not against you. I'm for you. But I just don't want to live that kind of life that I lived before Jesus found me. Amen. Amen. So he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important. There is no law in the New Testament as far as us having to follow a prescribed set of rules and regulations and therefore being able to get to talk to God. We're able to talk to God because he has grace. Amen. And then grace does not mean forgiveness. Amen. Everybody that I talk to, I say, if I'm talking to them about something that's going on in their life, I say, now what about this thing? I'm sure it's this thing that you're participating in that's destroying your life. It's destroying your marriage. It's destroying your heart. It's destroying the joy of your soul. It's destroying all those things. I'm sure about that. I'm sure it's this thing that's going on in your life that's causing this. And they say, but preacher, we have grace. And what they mean is Jesus has forgiven them of their sins, so everything is all right. But grace is not forgiveness. Grace is not forgiveness. You say, how do you know? Because they're spelled differently. They're not the same word. They are not the same. Grace, listen, grace, I can't give you every definition in the world, but I'll give you a simple definition to grace, and it's not God's riches at Christ's expense. The only two words that are okay in that definition of grace is God and Christ. The rest of it you can throw out. Because God and Christ have grace, but the rest of that, it has nothing to do with riches. It has nothing to do with expenses. Grace has to do with the ability to deal with an uncomfortable, unfavorable situation. You say that a ballerina has grace because she can jump up in the air and spin and twist. Gravity's working against her. Her body's working against her. Everything's working against her, and she's overcoming all those obstacles to be a good ballerina. That's grace. I'll make it simple where simple people can understand it. The person next to you stinks and you're able to sit there a long time beside them. That is grace. That is the experience that God has with you and I. He has holier eyes than to look upon sin, yet because he has said that he would save you and you have believed that, he is able to stay around you and hang around you because you have faith in him. He cannot do the same thing with demons and devils. They believe, but they're not living by faith. Did you know that the devil can quote scripture, but he can't get help from it? That's the difference between faith and belief. The devils believe and tremble. The devil can quote scripture, but he can't get help. You and I are devils. Yeah. Some of us don't believe the scripture that we quote. So we never get over anything. We never get victories of any kind. And some of us are sinful as the day is long. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the things that I hate, those are the very things that I do. But I'll tell you, when I read in my Bible and it tells me this or that, I say, that is right, that is right. Woe is me. And the only reason I can come before God today is because I believe what he said. And he says, you believe what I say, come on in. Hang out with me a little while. He may be holding his nose while he does it. He may be focused on his son while he's listening to what I'm saying. But that's the difference between belief and grace. It's the difference between belief and grace. The primary meaning of belief is a conclusion you have reached based on research, experience, or a combination of those things. And what you believe, you may believe it fully. You may believe it a little bit. You may believe it to some extent. You may not have studied it all out yet. Some people believe the earth is flat. But who really cares what they believe? A lot of people believe, I mean, if you get on the internet long enough, you can believe that the Jews are not God's people anymore. You can believe that the rapture is not going to take place. You can believe the church is going to go halfway through the tribulation. You can believe a lot of stupid stuff if you listen to the internet long enough. But when God says it in his book and you believe it or don't believe it, that's really what makes the difference. So you can have total belief. You can have a growing belief. And all these things, and that stuff really doesn't add up to faith. Amen? So let's look for just a minute. Let's look in Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. You almost want to get to preach when you're talking about some of these things. You have to remind yourself you teach in Sunday school. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in a roundabout way, and I know the world and the scientists and everything like that, they don't like circular reasoning. Of course, they don't like reasoning at all in most cases. But what you could really say about this is somebody could say, how do you know there's a God? And you could say, well, I got faith in him. And that'll be the only proof you need. Show me a proof of the existence of God. Well, I believe in him. Faith is the substance. This paper, that substance. This book, that substance. This pulpit, that substance. Faith is, if you want empirical evidence, if you want evidence you can look at, well, then you can just say, I've got faith. Look at me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's in a real sense, it's real. Faith is a substance. It's not something that you can necessarily put your fingers on, but boy, you can put your eye on. They talk about the eye of faith. By faith, we have seen it afar. Well, I look outdoors, and you may not see a figure in white. You may not see an angel with wings. You may not see a bunch of that stuff out there. But if you see a tree grow and die and then come back to life, well, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. You say, well, how can you believe a man's going to die and come back to life one day? I see it every year. Is that true or ain't it? Well, then I don't have a hard time believing that, especially when Romans chapter 1 told me that's what it means. Now, let's look about this faith. Now, get this in your mind before we go any further. Anything you believe, you believe grass is green because you went out there and looked at it long enough. Sure enough, it's green. And, well, that's your experience. Well, I believe my parents are such and such a man and such a woman. Well, you've got pretty good experience with that, don't you? Somebody comes in and tries to tell you your daddy ain't your daddy, your mama ain't your mama. Just ignore it because that's what you know by experience. Amen? So we're going to look at faith and see that faith is really, it's belief. It's those things. It's those same things. But faith, if you really want to know the difference between faith and belief, faith is everything that belief is, except it's yielded. In other words, if I believe things because I experienced it or I researched it and I found it out, I looked it up in the dictionary, I did the lab work, and I found that out. I found out by experience that was true. Then if that's what belief is, then faith is me looking at somebody else and trusting and yielding my understanding, yielding my belief, and yielding my need to experiment with things to somebody else's authority. In other words, if you're going to talk about if I need to believe this man or that man or the other man, I might be in danger putting my belief in their hands. But I don't think that I would ever be in danger yielding my authority and my experience and my experiments to God himself. Amen. And when I do that, when I if Brother Coleman here said the world is round and I just took him at his word, that's faith, because I'm not going to travel all over the world. I do my best not to travel too far up north. And I'm probably not going to go too far to the west. I mean, just not going to do those things as far as I know, not planning on it. But so I'm taking somebody else's word. Hey, you say so. But so you have to be yielded to do that. Because if somebody comes to me and says, will you take this wafer and wave these beads around, you'll go to heaven when you die. And you take that at face value, you are yielding not only your authority and your experiences and your experiment, but your eternity to somebody else. And you better be careful when you do that with a preacher or a priest. And that's why the Bible says that there was a certain group of people, the Bereans, they were more noble because when they heard the preaching, they went and looked at from the source. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that your belief, your faith, your belief is really coming from somebody else's experience, God's experience, somebody else's authority, God's authority, somebody else's trustworthiness. You know, you and I are pretty faulty. You and I can look at a YouTube video and be convinced that something is or something isn't just by the way it's presented to us. Just leave out this bit of information and plug in this bit of information. I mean, if you listen to the news 24 hours a day, you're convinced that little rifles are running around the country shooting people. When you know that's not true at all. It's just about 10 years ago, all these SUVs were breaking loose and running through storefronts and running down. I mean, everything in the world, bad SUVs, bad SUVs. No. Bad drivers. Right? Bad drivers. Bad people. But see, all they've got to do is present it a certain way. We got to get rid. No, we got to get rid of some people. Yeah. Amen. Ban Democrats. Yeah. Amen. I'd be more willing to ban Democrats than guns. Yeah. Amen. Well, that's a different subject. Different subject. Where was we going? Look in Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119 is a great, great chapter about the Word of God. And it really magnifies the Word of God like no other chapter in the Bible. Not that I'm not taking away from any other chapter in the Bible, but if you want a chapter that really magnifies the Word of God, Psalm 119 is it. I can't find it, but it certainly does what I said it does. Psalm 119, and let's look in verse 49. Now look what it says here. Remember we read in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. Now here in verse 49, he says, Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. See, if I study something and I believe because of my study, I caused me to hope. I caused me to believe. But if you read God's word, if you take God at his word, if you believe God above your experience, then what this book is telling you causes you to hope. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven because he caused me to hope. It's in the book. It's on the pages. And I like to say this a lot because I believe it's true. Everything that I believe, everything, I don't care if it's the Trinity, I don't care if it's eternal security, I don't care what it is that I believe about the Bible, I tend to see it everywhere I look. You say, you see eternal security in the Old Testament? All over the place. You believe they were eternally secure in the Old Testament? Not a bit. Not a bit. No, sir. They were not born again in the Old Testament. I don't care what your Bible teacher told you. But every place I look in the Old Testament, there it is. There it is. There it is. You say, why? Because it's true. And when I see these things, I know I'm going to heaven because God calls me to hope. Yeah. I'm not going to heaven because I came to Sunday school this morning. I feel real good because I come to Sunday school this morning. But it didn't feel real good coming to Sunday school this morning. I always feel real good about church on Sunday morning, after church on Sunday morning. Waking up and getting out and getting kids up and getting kids in the car. I'm glad I don't have to do too much of that with a good wife and a faithful wife. She does a lot of that stuff. And no wonder the Bible says you better thank God if you got a good wife. But still, just hearing it going on in the other room kind of tires me out. I mean, Lord, have mercy. Thank God I'm not a woman. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. In some areas, women are superior. Amen. There's no question about that. Dr. Ruckman used to say, women are better than men. At being women. I believe it. No problem. I'm not fighting for that position. Amen. Amen. If you like men, that's fine, but I was born this way. Amen. No problems there whatsoever. But what I believe about the Bible, God caused me to believe it. God caused me to hope. Hey, you know what? I feel sorry for some of these guys who think they're going through the tribulation. But when I read through my Bible, it causes me to think something else. I mean, some people worry about it and worry about it and worry about it. But listen, I've been reading this book since 1975. I took a few years off because I got stupid in my teenage years. But, man, I've been reading this Bible since I got saved. My little Sunday school teacher took us a little Bible, and she said, read that verse. Now look up here on the flannel graph. She began to explain these things, look at. But I've just never read my Bible and said, man, I'm going to hit the tribulation one day. It's never crossed my mind. Never crossed. And I didn't start reading it last week either. I mean, I've been reading it a long time. And the Lord has just caused me to hope. And I don't mean wish. A lot of people hear the word wish when they see the word hope. No, sir, hope is something strong. Hope is something firm. Hope is what you have when you're in trouble. Hope is knowing that the ambulance is on the way. Your heart ain't beating right. You don't feel good. You feel like you're about to fall out. But there's an ambulance on the way, and they know what to do. And if they don't, at least they got one of them machines that they go, pah, and shock you with. And maybe it'll all work out. But in this sense, the great physician, the one who created the body, the one who wrote this book said, this is the way it is. And I hope. Yep. See, faith is not something that I came up with. He caused me to hope. He caused me to hope. He caused me to hope. Amen? You say, why do you do the things you do? God made me do it. Why do you believe the way you believe? God made me believe this way. You know, a lot of people, a lot of people have belief. And you know what? You know what I believe? A lot of you got King James Bible, right? Amen. But I've got a feeling that a lot of people believe the King James to the extent that if the King James Bible wasn't the Word of God, you'd rather be wrong. 100% King James Bible. I believe it. I not only use it, but I believe it. But listen, if the NIV was better, I would use that. It's just not. Listen, if speaking in tongues was for modern age believers, I'd speak it. I'm not prejudiced against any other belief just because it's another belief. I'm prejudiced against them because it's wrong. But if it were right, I would have to submit myself to God. I'd have to submit myself to what is right. And that's when belief becomes faith, when you submit to somebody else's authority. You say it's this way, and God says it's another. Are you going to submit to God's way, or are you going to keep going your way? That's the difference between belief and faith. You wouldn't believe all the people that I've run into in the little county that we live, and I've said, are you a Christian? Say, yes, my grandmother was a preacher. That don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. Listen, if you're a Baptist this morning, just because your mom and daddy were Baptists, hey, I'm glad they raised you right, but eventually their Christianity is going to have to become your Christianity. You're going to have to get in the book and gain the principles for yourself. Somewhere along the line, Americans as well as Christians stop passing on the principles to the next generation. You say, what's wrong with this country? I'll tell you what's wrong with the country. Parents, stop passing on the principles to the children. The public school is not here to raise your children. No, sir. No, sir. You're not supposed to get American principles at school, and you're not supposed to get Christian principles just because a priest or a pastor said so. You're supposed to get in the book and check it for yourself. Now, hey, listen. Turn the TV off on the little brat and make him go outside and read the Bible. That's the way it used to be. Amen. You thought, well, I'm going to bring him to church and the preacher's going to preach to him and that's going to straighten everything out and I'll just trust in the preacher to do it. Listen, there's no better place to take your child than the church. There's no better man to let influence your child than the pastor. But you are going to have to familiarize your sons and your daughters with this book and teach them that it's true. Or else they're going to be spending 40 hours in a public school that's going to be telling them this is a lie. And they're going to be spending 1 hour because you don't come to Sunday night and you don't come to Sunday school. Well, you're here, but for the sake of whoever might lay out next Sunday because the crowd's not here, you're not going to come to Sunday school and you're not going to come to Sunday night. You're not going to come to Wednesday night. So 1 hour from this man is going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to overcome 40 hours of what they're getting down there in Hell High School. I just don't know what's wrong with them. You're what's wrong with them. Baptist mothers and daddies. Well, they'll be Christians because I'm a Christian. No, sir. It's not going to turn out that way. Not going to turn out that way. I've heard parents before say, well, I don't see any reason in spending $150 to send them to Christian camp in the summertime because they go up there and they come back and it only lasts about 2 weeks. Yeah, we straighten them out in 1 week and it takes you 2 weeks to mess them up and then we got to wait a whole nother year to get a hold of them again, straighten them out. It's you that are the problem. You. Ain't that right? That's right. That's absolutely right. Parents, that's right. Remember the word. See, I don't understand. I better move on. I'm about to run out of time. I can't sit. Quarter till, is that what that says? Here's what goes on most of the time. This is really what you got need to get a hold of right here. You've got people that trust God for the righteousness. Now, you know, matter of fact, let's look in the, well, see if I can shorten this up just a little bit. Romans chapter 12, let's look at that. Romans chapter 12, I trust that you're familiar with Romans 10, 17, faith cometh. It cometh. It comes from somewhere else. Faith is not in here. Faith comes from somewhere else. Belief, you can have that in here all day long. Some of you believe something because you've been doing it that way all the time. Let me give you folks up north a wonderful bit of enlightenment. Mashed potatoes are better with black pepper and butter in them. And putting it in there after you cook it don't count. Cook it with it in there. Amen? That's just something. That's just, but see, you've been eating it plain since you was born, and you don't even know it's bad. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Lemon pepper chicken. So, see, some of y'all thinking, yeah, that's great, brother. No, no, no. No, no. Fry the chicken. Yeah. Fry the chicken. You only think it's okay because you Yankees been doing that a long time. Amen. Well, listen, you want something good? Fry the chicken and then put the lemon pepper on the outside of the fried chicken. Oh, son, that's good. That's real good. That is all lemon pepper was invented for. You don't put it on the chicken and bake the chicken. Keep the chicken out from the oven. Fry it on top. Amen? But see, people think it's okay to do it otherwise because that's the way they've been doing it all their life. But see, that's belief. That's something you got. Come down south, and my wife will make you some fried chicken that will make you move to Georgia. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Come on down. Romans chapter 12. I think that's where I said I wanted to go. Belief is something that you've got. Faith is something you've got to, you can't have faith unless you yield to something else. You've got to yield to something else. And look what the Lord says about this. Romans chapter 12. Oh, Romans chapter 12. Don't you wish there was more than an hour in the Sunday school hour? Amen. Romans chapter 12, and let's look in verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And God is a realist. We would all like to go win the world and make them as good as Christian as we are. I mean, would to God that every Christian was as good as Christian as me. That's what we all think about one another. But you know what God was just interested in? He died on the cross so that the world wouldn't have to perish. And so he gave every man a measure of faith. Say, well, I just don't believe. Well, see, you know, I heard somebody say, I don't believe a man can be saved and do this. And we won't go into those particulars because it make the service longer and the sermon longer. But listen, you're thinking about that thing wrong. That's why I started off with the verse, we have peace with God because of being justified by faith. God told you something and you believe it, and therefore God justified you. And we get a lot of definitions either completely wrong or close to wrong. Justification is the reason why something is right. In other words, if you want to get something done from the state or something like that, you have to give them justification for you building a house in their wetlands. That's the stuff you guys deal with around here. You have to have a justification for things. God is justified in allowing me into heaven because I had faith in his word, and plus his son died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for my justification, to make it right for me. Say, well, I don't believe God. I don't think, you mean to tell me that guy does what he does and God's going to let him into heaven anyway? Well, he believes God and you don't. See, the one great lesson you learn from Romans chapter 4 is that God counts faith as an act of righteousness. See, God told you a bunch of things in the Old Testament was righteous in order to prove that you weren't righteous. But the one outstanding fellow in the Old Testament that really pleased God and really became God's friend was a man that believed him. And God counted it, his faith, for righteousness. It's a righteous act. You know what John said about that? John said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. So, you know, a bunch of independent Baptists can take that and stick it in your ear. We're not righteous. Well, get over that. He that doeth, now I understand in the flesh, in my flesh there's no good thing. But thank God there's something a little deeper in the flesh than what's on the outside, amen? Well, we could spend a lot of time on that, but he says a measure of faith. You know how that goes? Some trust God for eternity, but not for the present. You know what that means? That means your faith and your belief are at odds. They trust Christ as righteousness. Don't we believe in the imputed righteousness of Christ? We trust Christ as righteousness. And for righteousness, but not as a source of emulation. He's worthy to die for me. Think about that. He's worthy to die for me and to pay for my sins, but he's not worthy for me to pattern my life after him. That people don't find him as a worthy pattern for their life. And if somebody does find him a worthy pattern for their life, you call him a legalist.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Amen. That's the truth. Well, you're an illegalist. I'd rather die a legalist. I mean, technically, a legalist is somebody that teaches works for salvation. Amen. Your belief and your faith is a lot of times at odds. My belief and my faith is a lot of times at odds. That's why Paul says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And it's right in the same context where he says, I hate this stuff over here, but I do it. And I love this stuff over here. This is what's right to do, and I don't do it. That's every one of our testimonies. It's just we don't project that when we're in public. We project, I'm perfect and you all are bad. That's what we project. And if there's anything in this world that people can spot, you ever notice how nobody has a problem when they pull up to a four-way stop sign and figuring out who gets to go first? Stop lights just complicate things. make it take longer. But when you pull up to a four-way stop, everybody knows right when to go. There's an instinct there that also allows people to spot a fake and a con. And when you go out in the world and you're making your beliefs supersede the faith that was once delivered to the saints, people say that and go, no thanks. It's just like it's like the guy on the left going first instead of the guy. People get upset about those things. I don't want nothing to do with that. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Of course, we're all hypocrites. We understand that. But a lot of times we're trying to make our own beliefs be part of the faith, and it's not. Faith can only come from somewhere else. Belief, you can have all that you want, but faith can only come from somewhere else. That's what it means in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the word of God, the prophecy, is of no private interpretation. What you think about it means nothing at all. And if we all followed that, there'd be one denomination, wouldn't there? There wouldn't be more than one denomination. But you see, because of our experience and because what I think, oftentimes we complicate things. When fully relying on the Word of God solve a lot of problems in the church. I'm sorry if I went too long. Lord, we thank you, God, for your opportunity to preach this morning. Help us. Have mercy on us, God. My brother Samson going to preach this morning. I pray you'd help him. And God, fill him. Whoever preaches, whoever sings, help my brother Alan, God, as he directs the service. Help us this morning. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.